welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Jetstream. We're here to preview the match this weekend on Saturday with Perth Glory. I'm lucky enough to be joined by two people who couldn't be part of the shenanigans on Tuesday night with the recording of our 100th episode, but here for recording 101 is Emma.
Ahoy, ahoy.
How you doing?
Excellent. How are you?
Good. And man who could drag himself away, the newly married man, Glenn.
Yes, I'm now known as Mr. I was always known as Mr. Wilson, but nothing's really changed. So,
hey, Mr.
Hello.
Wilson, that's a good one. Oh, jeez. Dad, yeah, terrible. Let's just get stuck into the opening question. What do you reckon?
Yeah, go for it.
Glenn, I'm going to start with you. What's something weird that you collect that others may find weird? Oh, sorry, what's something you collect that others may find weird?
Yep, that's what you said the first time. That's anyway. I'm not sure about this one. I used to collect stamps when I was a child because I think I must have been really bored. I do have a few signed Wolverhampton Wanderers strips and memorabilia, so that's weird just because Wolves are pretty terrible, so I'll go with that.
Right, nice. Very good. Emma, what about you?
I don't really collect anything because I'm not really into stuff, but when I went to America, I collected, I don't know if you know, the quarters come in all the different states have their own quarter. So when I went to America, I made it my mission to get every single state and territory's quarter to bring home for my dad. So that's been my only ever mission of collecting stuff, and it was quite a mission. By the end of it, I had presentations at work, and the last slide on my presentation was, and I'm leaving the country soon, and I still need these quarters. Please all check your wallets. And I had like auditoriums worth of people tipping out all their change to find me the last quarters that I needed. So that's
awesome.
My only experience as a collector. It was fun.
That's really
Were you
solid.
Successful?
I was successful. I did have to, my housemate while I lived there owned a shop, and I did actually have to smash open a couple of pre-rolls of quarters that she'd gotten from the bank that she had ready to take to the shop the next day. I did have to smash some of them open to find, I think it was Alaska was the last one I had to find, and we we went through a couple of $100 of rolls of quarters to find that.
Wow. Awesome.
See, I didn't know that they did that.
No, neither did I.
Very interesting.
Imagine I just noticed it while I was there, and my dad collects coins, and I've never collected anything, so I thought
it'd
be nice.
Very good.
No, that's really cool, yeah.
Well, me, I could say something odd like, it's just, this is probably more of a habit, but I started just putting bottle caps in a box, like beer bottle caps. So ever since I moved out of home, which was about 10 years ago, I've just been gradually throwing bottle caps every time I have a bottle cap into a box. And the boxes just continue to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's one thing. But I'd say the thing that I collect, and maybe it's not weird because I know a lot of people do it, but very similar to you, Emma, when I went overseas and started traveling, it was Hard Rock Cafe pins. They were the thing for me, and I just managed to get them to all the different cities, and friends have come back from overseas, and they've brought them for me as well. I've got them on a canvas, actually, just a covered bit of canvas, and just start pinning them up, and from all different countries around the world. So that's something.
People
different.
Who collect things are so easy to gift.
Oh yeah. I
love buying gifts for collectors. You just get them their thing and it's easy.
I get a football jersey every year, like for Christmas.
Yeah.
It's a piece of cake for me, and I'm happy with that. All right.
Awesome.
Enough chat. It's going to be a pretty short episode today. We aren't, unfortunately, couldn't be joined by anyone from the Glory Gorillas podcast. They weren't recording this week, but let's talk about Perth, Emma. We've been pretty successful against Perth. It's the first time in a long time that we've actually taken points off Perth in a season, let alone be undefeated by them. It was well spoken about the record that we broke over in Perth earlier this year. Do you think that we can do it again?
I think we've got a good chance. I think they're going to be riding high on the idea of that they did it before, and the whole idea of, well, let's do the same thing again. And I'm probably jumping the gun on it here, but having Reddy out, I think, is going to make a huge difference for us, and that's going to really raise the tempo and the expectations of our boys. So if they can capitalize on that, I really think we can.
The importance of, I guess, of routine and how the boys preparing for matches does get thrown out when they take the three-hour trip. Well, they travel the three-hour time difference, Glenn, but they managed to head over to Perth a day early, and I'd expect that they'd be looking to do the same. What do you think is going to be the challenge for the boys? What can they do to essentially beat a Perth team who've been in pretty good form recently?
Yeah, I believe they left this afternoon. They flew over this afternoon, so they should be there. Well, they're probably there now, getting acclimatised and everything like that, so that's always good. How we can replicate our last result over in Perth? I think it was quite interesting to see that last result as far as the way we set out and the way we played, very highly pressing. I'm not sure if that's the way we should try and play again, because Perth are probably going to be ready for that. I think it's probably going to be something similar to what we saw on the weekend at Coffs Harbour, soaking up the pressure and countering very quickly and trying to catch them on the break.
Okay. Well, before we really get into the detailed thoughts about the game, let's have a look at the fixture facts. There's been 35 matches between the two teams overall in the A-League. 7 wins to the Jets, 21 to Perth Glory, and 7 have been draws. In Perth, we have those 2 wins, the one that we managed to achieve this year. Perth Glory have 11, and we've drawn 4. Leading scorers this year, Andy Keogh for Glory is on 8, Andrew Naboo is on 7. Our recent form, we've taken 7 points from our last possible 15. That's 2 wins and a draw from our last 5, and while Perth have taken 8. Glenn, Perth were on a bit of a rough trot, but ever since that defeat back in round 10, they've actually started to perform pretty well, and it was only last week being their first loss in quite a while against the Mariners. I think it was against the Mariners they played?
Correct, yep.
Yeah. They're going to be looking for that bounce back, Perth Glory, don't you think? It's disappointing to lose to... I mean, it's disappointing to lose to the Mariners, let alone the bottom team as they are.
Yeah, and I think coming back in front of their home fans as well, there's going to be that added sense of urgency and wanting to perform in front of the home fans. So they're not they're going to be a dangerous outfit. As you said before that loss, they were unbeaten in quite a few previous. But they, I think of the previous 5 before that loss, they'd won 2, drawn 3. So they weren't beating all comers, but they were holding their own at least. The thing that I find that Perth have done recently is they've probably allowed teams to start well against them, usually scoring the first goal, which we are guilty of as well. But if we can get an early goal, I think that might be the downfall of Perth, and that's where I'd look to start strong, nick an early goal and hopefully defend it.
Especially with an inexperienced keeper in. If you can rattle an inexperienced keeper early, then I think that we will be able to capitalise on that and make a huge difference.
Definitely, and that affects the front four in front of him. Oh, sorry, the back four, sorry, in front of him as well. They won't be quite as sure about how they should be playing and what they should be doing. They probably don't have the confidence in whoever they decide to start at keeper that they would have in ready. So, yeah, it's going to affect the team from back to front.
I mean, we don't have a member from the Goalkeepers Union on the podcast tonight, but do you think that Nick Feely, the young keeper who's expected to replace Liam Reddy this week, it's got to be a daunting challenge for him having the likes of Dino Djulbic in front of him, Shane Lowry, a player who's performed overseas in the Championship and Football League One for quite some years, Josh Risden, who's represented his country as well. He's got to be barking orders and commanding and demanding the defence and instructing them what to do. Liam Reddy has been in great form. Certainly this is a fantastic opportunity for the Jets to look to nick that first goal, as you mentioned, Glenn. But Emma, we've only managed, apart from last week, if you include last week, I should say, that's only twice in the last 14 matches we've managed to score first. And that's got to be a bit of a problem for us.
Yeah, I'm going to admit it's not our forte. But that doesn't mean it can't happen. And I think the way Andy Naboo has just gone from strength to strength every game he's played, I feel like he's quite capable of being the first goal scorer of the game. And I think you said before, Keo has more goals than Naboo right now. So I'd like to see that stat switch directions. So, yeah, I think we can do it. And I think there's no reason we shouldn't. I worry that if we do score the first goal, it's going to be a tense however many minutes after that, because we're not very good at holding on to a goal when we have it. So,
well, no, we haven't been. Glenn, you talked about looking at getting out the blocks early with the Jets. How do you think that they're going to set up tactically? We've seen the team be quite look to absorb a lot of pressure in recent weeks and hitting the counter. Is that something that, especially away from home, will look to continue?
I think they will, and they'll have confidence in the way that they performed last week against Melbourne City, soaking up early on. I think it was in 80% that they were gifting possession to Melbourne City. And as you guys mentioned in the review of that game, despite having a lot of the possession, they really didn't look that threatening. So I think they'll gain a lot of confidence from that and believe that they don't necessarily have to win the possession stat in order to make it count. So I do think they'll use their strength, which is attacking fast on the break and spreading the ball wide to Hoolt and Naboo and attacking them on the edges.
I'm okay with us not having possession, because if we've got possession, we can screw it up for ourselves. I think we do a lot better with less possession. So
do you? All right, I'll put this then to you, Emma. Do you think that Perth will be looking to allow us to have more of the ball because of that perception you have, and look to press us high up and win the ball and counter us as their tactic?
Nah, because I don't think Perth are as clever as me. I think Perth are probably going to try and stay in control. I think that they're going to want to keep the ball. Probably that if I had an less experienced keeper in, that would be my tactic, would be keep control and don't panic, because you don't want to get that fast break on you. But, yeah, I don't think Perth are as clever as me, so I don't know what they'll do.
Ooh, underestimating Kenny Lowe. I mean, I think they're just going to look to give the ball to Castro. He's the man that makes them tick. Mm-hmm. And they've been playing quite well with Brandon Wilson in midfield. Yep. He's really come in and started to shine over the last couple of weeks. And unfortunately, Mark Warren seems to have lost his spot at the left back position, which is highly disappointing. I think Castro is the key man that we need to certainly be shutting down. But
just on Castro, Dave, before you move on, do you think that Perth will make, or Kenny Lowe in particular, will make the same mistake of putting him out wide to start the game?
Yeah, I think that they will, because that's where he's been playing most of his career with Perth. I didn't see the game particularly against, I mean, the Mariners were playing, I really wasn't that interested. But that seems, that free role that he has, because he kept on popping up on the left and right when we played a couple of weeks ago in Newcastle. And it's just, I think that he will be that floater in behind the likes of Taggart, Keo. He'll be flexible and moving around.
Yep. No, I just find him a lot more dangerous when he's central. I'd be happy to see him out wide as long as they can keep him out there. That's another thing unto itself, keeping him out wide, because he does have quite good dribbling skills. So if I was Kenny Lowe, I'd be getting him to marshal the middle of the park. Control the ball there. But yeah, the way they played the last time we played over at NIB Stadium there, I thought he was largely ineffectual for the first half when he was stuck out wide.
Yeah, okay. I remember him particularly from the game a couple of weeks ago, that when he was out wide, he looked to take the ball infield, allow that overlap of Risden to come through, and also then attracts the defenders in or play a little ball through the line, and that created us a lot of problems. Emma, do you have anything more that you'd like to add on Castro while we're talking about him?
No, I agree with Glenn that I think he is better central. But I also think it would be better for us if they put him central, because I think our central defence is going to shut him down better. than what our wide defence is. Well, so, yeah.
The last two times that we've played, Mateo Poliak's done a bit of, well, has been, I guess, tasked to do a bit of a job on him, and his partner in crime, this Stevie Ugi, is unfortunately out this week through suspension. He's accumulated his fifth yellow card for the season. We've got a couple of options that have been named in the squad. Most likely would be Wayne Brown, I expect, to come in. There's also the option of Johnny Katrumbas, who's been filling in there from the bench in the last couple of weeks. But I'll also throw out there, Glenn, a left field one in Nick Cowburn. It's a position he's played in the youth. It's also a position he played once or twice and under Scott Miller. And also, it's the position that he feels... he was reported in the media last year saying it's his preferred position. Of those three options, would you be looking to make one of those as the change for the Jugarkovic? Or is there another option that you'd look to have?
Of those three, I would be more inclined to put Katrumbas there. I understand Cowburn is a natural central midfielder, and I'm sure he could do a good job there. But Katrumbas has been playing there in bit part roles, coming on, substituting into that spot. So I'd be more confident with him there. Just with Wayne Brown coming back from injury, yeah, I'm not sure if you'd want to trust him with such a pivotal position defensively on the field. If he was further up the field, where defensive work rate doesn't have to be that high, you could probably get away with it. But as you well know, Poliak and Jugarkovic this whole season have been doing a mountain of work. So I think Brown might struggle with that, just coming back from his injury.
Emma, the defensive line probably had one of their best performances despite conceding a penalty last week. It was one of their more committed performances of recent times. Would you be looking at making changes to that defensive back four?
I thought about this before we started recording, and I'm not certain, because I was very uncertain about that defensive lineup last week. But like you said, it did work out, and maybe, you know, having things a little bit different kept people on their toes a little bit more. There's, you know, you can't be complacent when you're out of position. So I'm not certain. I guess you don't want to change it if it did work, but I would like to see Hoffy back on his correct side. Mm-hmm. But then I'm not quite sure what you'd do in order to accommodate that if you want to have Mullen on. So yeah,
I guess we're missing.
I'm gonna pass on that one.
Okay, well, Glenn, do you want to pick it up from there? I spoke about it on Tuesday. I spoke about the limitations of Jason Hoffman, despite having quite a good game. The limitations of both him and Cowburn is that they're always looking to cut back infield onto their natural right foot. We lack that player with the ability to take the ball on the outside, at least to the byline, and look to put the ball across or cut the ball back with their left, with Fijika missing. Would you be looking to make changes?
It's a difficult one. I'm with Emma on this one, because I'm a massive fan of Hoffman. I do believe that he's better on the right. That's his preferred position. I think he is more adaptable, though. So whilst he's not as effective on the left, I think of the options we've got that aren't injured, I think he probably is one of the better ones. The other one you could have there is Cowburn. I think he's played left before, and he hasn't looked too bad. So it's just a question of whether you want to play Mullen or Cowburn for mine.
Okay. We've talked about the centre mids. Emma, I think would you make any different decisions to that of Glenn, looking to put Katrumbas in for the Jugarkovic?
No, I think Glenn's right. I think you can't put Brown straight back in. And I actually think if you do keep the back four the same, you start Katrumbas, you have Brown on the bench for if he's fit enough. But having Cowburn on the bench too is very versatile. So he could come in at any of those positions, really, if he was needed. So I think I would probably go with Katrumbas, but it depends on how Brown is feeling.
Talk about how Wayne Brown's feeling. It's certainly going to put, if there's any doubt as to the level of fitness that he has, that 5-hour plane trip across to Perth is certainly going to put his hip sitting still, sitting down on a plane. It's certainly going to be testing his level of fitness, I'd say. Just being in a confined seated position for so long, the team is certainly going to have to take that into account if he does travel. All right. We talk about the squad for a sec before we get onto the front four. It's interesting to see that this week there's still no Coco, Emma, in the team. And also Haliti hasn't been retained in the squad to travel. Joel Allwright, however, has. Coco and Haliti seem to be the forgotten men now. Harrison Sawyer's getting the run. Their time's limited. You think it's the last time we've probably seen either or both players in a Jets shirt?
I feel really bad for Coco because it hasn't necessarily been his fault that he hasn't performed as anticipated. He has had injuries, and serious injuries, and injuries that have not been his fault. You know, you can't avoid a broken jaw if someone's going to hit you in the face. So I really do feel for the guy. But that said, the games he has gotten on the field for, he really hasn't dazzled. And I think even though Jones has used it as a bit of an excuse that, oh yeah, we've had blah many guys out, if you're going to use that excuse, when your guy comes back in, that guy has to perform. And Coco really hasn't done it. Haliti, I guess he was Miller's player. Maybe he had a shot if Miller had stayed, but I feel like if he hasn't got a look in by now, he's not going to get a look in. So, yeah, okay. Sorry, Haliti.
No worries. All right, well, Glenn, Marley Leigh, Andrew Nabu, Andrew Hull, and Morten Nordstrom. Four players who have really played the last couple of weeks in Wayne Brown's absence. Would you be looking to make any changes to those guys?
Again, this comes down to Brown's fitness. I think it's a straight swap for Ma if he is ready to go. But that would be quite harsh for Ma, in my opinion, because he's been playing very well and he does have that killer ball, which he's laid on a few goals last week. There was that beautiful through ball to Nabu for his first. And almost teeing up Nordstrand with the chip near the line there. So he's a very smart footballer, and he has been playing well. I think it's a perfect opportunity for Ma to start 55 minutes, 60 minutes in, give Brown the rest, and work him back into match fitness. That's what I would do. What I think will happen is if Brown is any chance, if he's 80% plus, he will start. They'll find a way to fit him in.
All right. Liam Reddy, we've talked about his absence, but an interesting inclusion this week in the team, Emma, for me, was the naming of Reece Williams as one of the players that Perth may be looking to select from this week. So given the transfer window has now shut, he hasn't made the mooted move to Sydney FC, and he has overcome the calf injury, the calf strain, I believe, that he had as well. Do you think Williams is likely to be included in the starting lineup, or if not, the matchday squad?
I hope he is, and I hope it's awkward, and I hope he's shit, and I hope we take advantage of it. Is that mean-spirited of me?
Oh, gee, solid. Glenn, do you want to slam him?
No, I've got nothing bad to say about him. I think it will be interesting as far as the team dynamic is concerned, how it's felt. I mean, I think the main issue that the main person that had a problem with him, and rightly so, given he wanted a release to go to another A-League club, is Kenny Lowe. So if that relationship has been repaired and they feel like they can move on, then it's going to be fine. I think the teammates will welcome it. A player like him with his experience would be welcomed into most sides. I'm not sure what they will do just yet. As you say, they've been playing quite well up until last week, so they're probably very hesitant to make any wholesale changes. I can see him maybe making the bench and coming on from there.
Okay. All right, Emma. Time to put your money where your mouth is. What's your prediction for this week?
I don't want to jinx this, but I'm feeling optimistic. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win for us.
Okay, back it up again over the western side of the country with a 2-1 win. Glenn?
I'm feeling it.
Yeah, I think I predicted a clean sheet last week. Didn't come true. I'm going to predict a clean sheet again for this week. 1-0 Jets.
Ooh. I think that we... With Liam Reddy out, that's a massive miss. Dino Djulbic is back. Alex Grant is still out. Will Reece Williams play? I'm not so sure. Taggart just isn't Taggart this week. Hopefully he doesn't come back and score against us again. I am leaning towards Emma. I don't think we're good for any more than 2. I will say also a 2. I think we're going to keep a clean sheet. Actually, I'm going to go between you guys. I'm going to say 2-0 win. All right. So let's go. Let's talk about some news. News just breaking through the Newcastle Herald. So it will be in the paper today because we're releasing this on Friday. John Katrumbas has re-signed with the Jets, signing a 2-year deal. Emma, fantastic news.
The best news. I think this is the best decision in terms of a player to retain. I'm thrilled for him and I'm thrilled for the team. I think it's going to work well in both directions.
Glenn, he's a very versatile player who, despite a rocky start, the fans really didn't get on his back, but he's continued to mature with every performance.
Yeah, definitely. And the only true mistakes are ones in any walk of life. The only true mistakes are ones that you don't learn from. He seems to have learned from all those little mistakes and sometimes big mistakes that he's made early on in his professional career. And that, to me, shows a level of mental toughness and maturity beyond his years. I believe it's widely held belief that he's just gone from strength to strength. He's looked more comfortable. And as you mentioned earlier, his natural position is in the base of midfield, centre of midfield there. But he's just as, to me, he looks just as comfortable playing in the centre of defence if need be. So another versatile player, another young guy signed up to a medium-term contract. Well done, Jets. This is the kind of signing that we wouldn't have seen 2 years ago under other administration. So, yep, kudos to the club and everybody that got it over the line.
Can I just add, I do love a versatile player. Mm-hmm. I think there are not enough versatile soccer players, football players, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah,
Oh, it really surprises me how few of them, as professional players, can play comfortably in more than one position, or even 3 or 4 positions in the case of Katrumbas. So, yeah, it really, really does surprise me, and I'm really glad that we've got some... It just automatically adds to your depth to have those versatile players, so I think that's great for us.
It does, but it can also undermine your value as well. If you're seen as a jack of all trades, you might not be able to nail down one particular spot. So I agree with you. It's great to have that that versatility,
which is what happened to Cowburn.
Yeah, definitely. So you can see both sides of the coin. Yeah, so I'm sure there's players out there that say no, I'm this player only. And they won't even hear about any. I'm sure they could play other positions, but sometimes it's in their own best interest to really just concentrate on one and go from there. But yeah, I'm all for a versatile player as you are, Emma. But I can understand when players might be a bit hesitant to do that because they've seen it probably all through their careers. Other players being labelled as bit part players coming off the bench and doing a job wherever they're thrown.
But okay. It's a team sport.
Oh, I agree with you, 100%.
So where does that leave Ben Kenarowski, guys? The re-signing of John Katrumbas, you've anticipated that he's going to fill in that centre midfield position vacated by Garkovic this weekend. Does this signal the end of Kanter's career with the Jets?
Yes.
Do you want to take this, Emma? Yep, okay, good.
No one's going to be as blunt as me. I'm going to say yes. Yeah. My prediction for Kanter is that next year he'll be in one of the lower-level Asian countries.
Interesting.
I don't mean lower-level country. I mean a country that has a lower-level league. That sounded racist.
So going to a Malaysia or somewhere like that?
Yep.
Or a Singapore league?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Glenn, do you want to add
I don't think I don't. Yeah, I don't think this re-signing signaled the end. Makes it a lot easier to say goodbye. but I don't think this decision in and of itself was the catalyst. I think I just think his inconsistency over the past few years especially, and his battles with injuries, unfortunately, I think that's what's that would be the common denominator.
So we'll move on to another possible retention target for the club, and that's Andrew Hull. There was media reports this week through the Newcastle Herald that he may be looking to try his luck overseas. He's undecided as to whether he wants to stick around with the club, or there were no direct quotes from Hull within that article, I must point out. Glenn, do you think that this is agent talk?
Yeah, definitely. Especially if there's no direct quotes. 100%. I think it's come directly from the agent to try and drum up some interest. But I do believe that what Jane said, as far as he needs to sort of just build on, he's having a really good year. He's a career year. It's the best he's played, as far as goals especially, and just general play. I don't think you can bank on that just yet. And Jets have proven in years gone by they won't stand in the way of a player and advancing their career to an overseas club. We never have, and sometimes to our financial detriment. So I don't think that by him signing at least the year deal, I don't think that means that he can't move. He should hopefully still feel like if an offer came in, the club would listen to it and give him every chance.
Emma, Hull had spent that year away from the Jets after choosing not to renew his contract under when Phil Stubbins was the coach, and he moved to Sydney. The grass wasn't necessarily greener for him down there, and he's come back, and as Glenn said, he's having his career best year. If you were Hull, would you be looking to spend another season under the Jets, maybe sign a 2-year contract with the understanding that in 12 months' time you'd be looking to head overseas?
Look, I'm going to be honest. I don't think he is ready to go overseas. If Taggart didn't really get anywhere when he went overseas, I don't see why Hull should. And a lot of what Hull's problem is that he clearly doesn't have his head together. Mm-hmm. He's obviously feels pressure. Which of you guys was it who said he makes easy stuff look hard and the hard stuff look easy? That's a sign that he's not all in order with his psychology when it's approaching games yet. And I think if a young player goes overseas when their head isn't together, they really risk blowing the whole thing for themselves. So if he goes overseas, he might go brilliantly, or it will be the end for him. So I don't think he's ready. I think he needs another year. And if he can have a supportive environment for that year, I think it would be very good for him.
Yeah, he's not going to go stale on the shelf. One year now at his age, still in the A-League, isn't going to harm his chances. And it's only, in my opinion, and obviously Mark Jones is of the same feeling, that it's only going to help his game in the long run.
Yeah, and I think Taggart went too soon. If I think Taggart had waited another year, he would have had a much better shot when he was away. So I probably agree. Wouldn't have come back so soon.
I agree. Yep. All right, round prediction time. Let's get into the rest of the A-League round. Friday night kicks off in Brisbane, with Brisbane taking on the undefeated Sydney FC. Glenn, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are this can't go on forever, surely. It can't. Even the Invincibles of Arsenal, they almost came unstuck against the lowly Wolves. I was sweating on that game. I remember watching it in the early hours of the morning. They've got to lose sometime, I hope. I'm going to say it's this week. I think 2-1 Brisbane for me.
Okay. Emma?
Can I just say this is a really exciting week, because we've got the top four all playing each other, the middle four all playing each other, and the bottom two playing each other. So I think that's going to make for some very exciting games. It would all be in pairs right down the table if Brisbane and Sydney were swapped with the Melbournes. So, yeah, I think that's going to be a huge week.
Wow.
What?
You thought you were a nerd, Dave.
Oh, my God.
Did no one else notice that? Like, there's so much room for shuffling on the table this week. depending definitely, on the outcomes.
You're right. Yeah, they're all right. It's just if these ones swapped, then they'd all be the same.
If we just swapped Melbourne Victory for Brisbane Roar, we'd have number one playing number two, number three playing number four, and that would be awesome. That would be like the tightest, hardest to pick games of the whole year. Yeah. So yeah. I'm glad this is the Friday night game.
Go for it.
And I think Brisbane do have a chance, but also I'm not confident. I've said before this season that it was going to be Brisbane that we're going to finally stop Sydney's run, and they let me down. So if Brisbane come full force, I reckon they can take Sydney, but I reckon there's going to be no clean sheets in this one. So I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw.
And I'm backing you up with the score alone. You're on your own with the trying to reorganise the table.
It's just the thing I noticed.
That's all right. I'm just having a laugh. Emma, you can start with this one. Wellington versus Western Sydney Wanderers at Yarrow Stadium. So they're not playing at Westpac Stadium. They're playing at Yarrow Stadium this weekend.
Interesting.
Mm.
Do we know
I'm
where
not
that
sure
is?
That's going to make a difference.
Taranaki.
No.
Doesn't narrow it down for me.
That doesn't help me. It's sorry, in Red. New Zealand.
Yes. All right.
I'm going to back Wellington.
Yep. What's the score?
The Wanderers are a hot mess this season. So, maybe the Wanderers can pull it off, but you've got to be an idiot to back them with their inconsistency. Oh, I've just jinxed them now and they're going to win. No, I'm going 3-1 to Wellington.
Look at that one. All right, Glenn?
2-1 Wellington. Just purely based on it's a quote-unquote home game for them.
Okay. I'm going 2-1 Wellington as well. Victory and Melbourne City, the Melbourne derby that I think the publication and the advertising of this game has been pretty quiet this time. They only talked about it for about 5 minutes on the Foxtel podcast this week. That's on a 50-minute podcast. So, what are your thoughts, Glenn?
It's going to be very interesting. Melbourne City will obviously be smarting after that defeat in Coffs Harbour last week, and hopefully their plane arrived okay for them.
Stole my joke.
This week? Sorry.
Yeah, carry
on. That joke was plain to see, so I took it.
Went over so, my head.
Yeah. Unlike their plane.
Wow, you guys are quite something.
we're through the looking glass here, people. I think they'll come out firing. They've given. I found it funny last week when Tim Cahill came off the field, not on the bench. The talk of the commentary was, oh well, he'll be rested for the derby next week. But win the game that's in front of you, it smacked of arrogance to me, and I just wish them every pain from now on in. So I'm going to go Victory.
Those ice packs were for his ego, not his
name. Yeah. I'm going to say 2-0 Victory.
All right, no worries. Emma, your thoughts?
I'm backing Victory too, but I've got to be honest, this is not any football analysis prowess. This is me being a bitter cow, and I'm just so sick of City this year. I'm sick of everything being about City and City thinking they can just walk it in. I'm just over them completely. So as much as it pains me, I'm all for Berisha this week. So yeah, I'm going to go 2-0.
Ooh, right. I'm going 3-0. I think Victory are just going to tear Melbourne City apart. Victory have been on a really bad run. So of Melbourne City, but I think just Victory are going to be completely up for it. Just they'd be smarting after the performance where, from a couple of weeks ago, Tim Cahill smacked that goal in from, halfway, thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to put down 3-0. Last game of the round on Sunday, Central Coast Mariners versus Adelaide. This one is being held in Canberra at 5 p.m. Glenn, are you going for the Beatty special?
No, I'm not. Central Coast home game in Canberra. Another, it's their second of the year, is that correct?
Yes.
Anyway, it doesn't really matter, but yeah.
Yes, it is.
I think the location is going to favour Adelaide, actually. shorter, little bit of a shorter travel time, and they'll gain a little bit of confidence out of last week's result, being able to get a draw out of that. I actually think it's going to be another draw here. I think another 2-2.
Emma, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to go with the 1-1 draw, but I think it might be because that's what I want it to be, rather than what I think it will be. But it's the wooden spoon playoff. Like, who cares?
Okay. We've had plenty of them in our time.
Yeah, it's, yeah, we have. I'm tipping Adelaide to go 2-0. Beat the Mariners. I can't bring myself to even tip the Mariners for a draw. That will put Adelaide above the Mariners, put them back down to last place. So, well, that really wraps it up, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us this week. It's been a bit of a rushed pod, but an interesting chat nonetheless. Emma, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Dave. Sorry, I've been a little belligerent this week.
You're fine. And Glenn, thanks for having us as well.
Thank you. And can I just ask somebody a favour, like you guys, either of you, if you just keep me abreast of what's happening, because I don't think I'll be able to watch the game from overseas. So, yeah, maybe just on Twitter or something, I'll just follow it on there.
Oh, yeah. Maybe this is a nice plug for Follow Closters Group.
Oh, yeah.
Because I tweet all the games for Closters Group, who are a wonderful sponsor of the Jets. So just keep an eye on me there, Glenn. Thanks. Well,
you can hit them up for sponsorship of the podcast too. All right, well, thanks very much.
We can drive new cars to our live pods.
well, that's where Robbie got his personalised number plates. Maybe we can get some Jetstream number plates.
Sweet.
That's it. Jeez. All right, well, we've digressed enough. Just the rabble that this joint has become. Thank you everyone for listening to us this week. If you want to find... I mean, you've obviously found out how to listen to us, but if you want to follow any of the people who have been involved in tonight's episode, their Twitter handles and the like will be in the show notes. We're also on iTunes and do appreciate any feedback that we do receive. And yeah, if you want to tell your friends about us, please do. They can find us through iTunes, Android, and also on Stitcher. Thanks very much, everyone, and we will speak to you next week. Go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
Go the Jets.
No, go the Jets. Now, but it sounds silly when I say it. You're like, go the Jets. And I'm like, go the Jets. it just really highlights my girliness.
Finish on that, please.
Just try. Just try. Real deep.
No, it sounds... go the Jets.
Yeah. Sounds like
Dice Man. Nice one, Em.
Yeah. Well, I'm down, back to now.